Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy Friday to you, America. And wow, do we have a lot to talk about today. So I was looking at the mugshot last night. I was out to dinner with some colleagues, and the mugshot came through. And I was not convinced initially that was the actual mugshot because it was so outrageous. There's no way this could be the actual mugshot of Donald John Trump, the first president in American history to be arrested, to be arraigned, to be fingerprinted, and to be mug-shotted. But it turns out, ladies and gentlemen, that it was the mugshot. And I have to tell you, it was a stroke of genius. It was a brilliant move by President Trump. Because that image is going to become iconic, even more so than the red MAGA hats. Because I believe that Donald Trump was able to communicate effectively the mood of the nation with this mugshot. It was absolutely brilliant. Now, we're going to be talking about this today. It is Open Line Friday, so we'll be talking about whatever you want to talk about on Friday. I want you to write down our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Do you believe the mugshot actually helps or hurts Donald Trump? 844-747-8868. Now, I will say this, it is a great travesty what has happened to President Trump. And when you look at what's been happening to this man, four times now he's been indicted by radical leftist district attorneys. And we've got to call it like we see it here, folks, and that's who these people are. These are individuals who have weaponized the judicial system, and they're coming after conservatives. And right now they're coming after Donald Trump, but one day they'll be coming after you. And in many cases, they already have. But I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a moment, a defining moment in American history. So yesterday, a couple of things happened that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, the jail is really in a rough part of Atlanta. It is there are a lot of poor people that live in and around this jail. And it was interesting, as Trump's motorcade came through this depressed area of Atlanta, the numbers of people, blacks, who came out of their homes and were cheering for President Trump as the motorcade drove by. Now, the mainstream media, they don't want you to see those videos, but we've got them up on our website. And it's very clear to me that the average American, they get it. They understand exactly what's going on in this country. And they see a man who is now being put upon, a man who is being bullied for no reason. And by the way, I was talking to a legal expert yesterday who said most, if not all, of the charges against Trump in Atlanta are going to be thrown out, only because this woman, this district attorney, Big Fanny Willis, the daughter of an Afrocentric Black Panther, Big Fanny, has no jurisdiction on what happens in places like Arizona and Pennsylvania. It's just ludicrous. But now we know that this woman was actually routinely sharing anti-Trump messages on her social media platforms. And, of course, we all know that she campaigned on a promise to go after and get Trump. So she has weaponized and politicized the district attorney's office there in Fulton County. And the president is now a de facto political prisoner. But, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, Trump needs to wear the MAGA ball cap, or he needs to just give a big old smile and give a big thumbs up to the camera. And as entertaining as that would have been, it would have sent the wrong message. It would have trivialized what I believe to be a profoundly disturbing moment in American history. So President Trump actually read the room, and he describes the filth and the squalor that was inside that jail and how horrible it was. And I can't imagine what the president had to go through yesterday as he surrendered to authorities in that filthy place. But understand this, everything the president has done thus far, he has done for the American people. This man is being punished for beating Hillary Clinton back in 2016. That's what this is all about, and you never forget it. Never forget it. So I don't think that the president did the wrong thing here. I believe what the president did was genius. Because this man, in a single photograph, this man, I believe, conveyed the anger of this nation. And it is a righteous anger that is festering among the silent majority. I hear it when you folks call into this program. There is an anger in this country. And rightfully so, because the president is the victim of a weaponized justice system. And he's not the only one. We've already seen it. Parents and people of faith, pro-lifers, those law-abiding gun owners, you guys have already been visited by the FBI. All of you have been subjected to retribution. You have been punished for your beliefs. By the way, I've got people that have, I posted my morning commentary on Twitter this morning, and people are already reporting me to the FBI because of what I wrote. But there is a great anger in this nation, and it is a righteous anger. And so when I look at Donald Trump's, I was standing, we were about to be seated, I'm looking at Donald Trump's mugshot, and he conveyed the mood of we the people. And I'm telling you, folks, the left, they don't know what they've done here. You see, they thought that this was going to be their moment, their shining moment. We finally got the guy. We're going to post that. We're going to post that mugshot. It's going to be the new logo of CNN, the most profane name in news, MSDNC. They were so excited. But even they realized, holy crap, we made a mistake. Oh, yes, you did. And I'm telling you, folks, Judgment Day is coming in this country. President Trump, with that one iconic photograph, told the nation, this is war. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. We're taking your calls on the mugshot today. What's your take? Did Trump do the right thing by staring? It was a cold, hard, steel look into the camera. Did he do the right thing? Well, let's start the day in North Carolina. Charles, listening to us on WSIC. Charles, what say you?
Well, Todd, I have already ordered a coffee mug this morning with that mugshot on it, and a T-shirt's going to be following. But I couldn't believe what I witnessed yesterday. You know, I'm 61 years old, and I've never thought our country would become a banana republic. But that's exactly what happened yesterday. And I just want to say this to the people out there in the audience, and especially if you're an independent or maybe you're a Democrat, but there's only been three times in the history of this country where the fate of one man is inextricably linked to the fate of a nation. The first time was George Washington during the American Revolution. The second time was Abraham Lincoln before and during the Civil War. And this is the third time, is Donald Trump. He's not a messiah. He's an imperfect vessel. But just like Washington and Lincoln, he is indispensable, and he is, I think, a providential instrument in speaking for millions and millions of people. And if he loses, we all lose. Just like if Washington and Lincoln had lost, the country would have gone down. And this is one of those defining moments in American history, Todd, where we have all got to stand together. It's time for the Keeble Elves and the primary to stop, come together, join Trump, and we have to win. There's no substitute for victory here.
Look, Charles, absolutely correct, and you're right. This is a defining moment in the history of this nation, and it concerns me greatly. Not so much that they've gone after Donald Trump, but how they've targeted moms and dads who are raising significant issues with their local school boards, how they've knocked down the doors of the pro-life families and gone after law-abiding gun owners, and at the same time allowing illegals to pour into this country. We don't know what has been allowed across that border, and yet they are distracting all of us by going after Donald Trump, and we've got to stop it. We have to do it at the ballot box. Charles, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Rich in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Rich. What you got for us?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
You know, back in the American Revolution, something happened there where there was something called a shot that was heard around the world. And I think what happened yesterday was the mugshot that was heard around the world. This is going to be a great awakening for conservatives in the silent majority. So that's my thought.
Well, Rich, I love it. I think that's an accurate description as well. Going back to the early days of the Revolutionary War, it was April 19th, 1775. It was the shot that sparked the American Revolutionary War, and that mugshot could very well do that. It very well could. Rich, appreciate the call and great insight there. All right, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going right back to the phones, 844-747-8868. Your reaction to the mugshot of President Donald John Trump. This is the Todd Starden Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, I want to welcome all of our listeners, and we have a big crowd listening to us on social media today. By the way, if you have not done so, head over to our website right now, ToddStearns.com, bookmark our page, and then download our app. Folks, it is a great way to get our podcast. You can listen to all 3 hours of the program, and it is free of charge. We don't charge you a penny for that, and no strings attached. We just want you to have access to all of the things that our team here is putting together. And, of course, sign up for our newsletter over at ToddStearns.com for all of the great stories our team is working on. All right, let's get right to the phones here. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Kathy on the line, listening to us on KYKN. Kathy, what did you think when you saw that mugshot of President Trump?
Well, I'm one of those that sort of wished he would have smiled, just to make him angry. But really, what I wanted to say was, I think all of this, every single bit of it, is a provocation. I think they are just chomping at the bit for somebody to shoot something and give them an excuse to lock us all down and
to declare martial law.
Yep.
Yeah. No, Kathy, I think you're onto something here. And look, this is the reason why, at least on this program, we're nonviolent. You know, we tell people you protest peacefully. We cannot behave like the left. The Democrats are the ones that are going out there and beating up people, shooting police officers in the street, burning down cities. They do that. That's not who we are.
Right. Anyway, I just think they're provoking us. And maybe somebody that's fed up would do something dumb. Don't give them an excuse.
Yeah. It's good advice, Kathy.
Everybody needs to calm down.
Kathy, appreciate that call. It is good advice from our friends out in Salem, Oregon. Let's go to Brian, listening to us on WTJS in Jackson, Tennessee. Hi, Brian. What say you?
That was the beautiful, most excellent, best mugshot there ever was. That was a warlike posture, and that's just what we need.
Brian, I saw that, and I'm thinking that's going to be in every history book. You know, 20 years from now, the kids are going to be seeing that mugshot, and they're going to realize this was a man who, in a moment of time, transformed this nation.
When the truth comes out, see, Trump is setting all these precedents, so this won't be the last mugshot that you see of a former president. So when the truth comes out about how Barack Obama used illegal FISA warrants to spy on Trump as a candidate and as a president, that's treason. He'll get his mugshot. Biden is going to get his mugshot. The Clintons are going to get their mugshots. And the Bushes are going to get their mugshots, too, because all these presidents since JFK have been part of the corrupt system. The system is irredeemable. I believe Trump activated the military day one and told them that it was not savable, our government not savable. I believe the military is the only way, and that's why when Trump was president, he was surrounded by generals. He had military men in positions normally reserved for civilians. I believe Trump was working with the military behind the scenes his whole 4 years while everybody was focused on Russia, Russia, Russia. I think Trump set them all up because he said, we caught them all. Let's wait to see what happens, and the best is yet to come. Man's facing 400 years, still smiling like it's nothing. So trust Trump, trust the plan, and we're going to win this thing.
All right, Brian, appreciate that call. I will say this. I mean, Ronald Reagan, greatest president of my lifetime, I would not put him in that mix with JFK and the others. But I will say this, that Trump does have the goods on it, and that's why the deep state is so terrified. They think he has the goods. He's got the evidence that shows the corruption. But keep in mind, what the investigations told us, going back to Russia, 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 is those breadcrumbs led directly back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and Barack Hussein Obama. So you cannot tell me that Barack Obama did not sign off on the attempt to sabotage Trump's campaign and then try to overthrow a duly elected president. And I certainly hope that day is coming when Barack Hussein Obama is led away. I can't wait to be able to post his mugshot. All right, let's go to Harry in Texas. Hi, Harry, what's on your mind?
Oh, I had a comment on that mugshot. I was like you at first. I wasn't sure it was the right one. But then I got to thinking about it, and I'm going to tell you, I don't know why this popped in my mind, but it reminded me of that poster sign back in the early days. I'm 65, so I go back a ways. But you remember that poster that said Uncle Sam needs you to serve the military and that picture of that guy and everything? I think they ought to put that mugshot on him and say, Trump needs your help to save America.
Oh, Harry, I like that. Yeah, the iconic Uncle Sam with the finger pointed at you. Yeah, I mean, it's that iconic. So much like the British during World War II, they had the posters, keep calm and carry on. This is going to be on posters. It will be in dorm rooms. It'll be on the side of buildings. This mugshot is going to mobilize the nation. And I think that's what terrifies the left right now, is they know they made a tactical mistake when that mugshot came out. They realized, uh-oh, we screwed up. Harry, appreciate that call. Folks, we have some lines open now, 844-747-8868. It is Open Line Friday. A lot of people wanting to weigh in on that mugshot. It's a doozy. We got to get some of the coffee mugs. That'd be nice. All right, again, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. Well, I can't get DeSantis here. The guy is just tone deaf. And with, honestly, you go back to the first DeSantis campaign, if it hadn't been for Trump, DeSantis would not have won that election. And now we understand why. So DeSantis is out there in the field of dreams, and he was asked about Donald Trump being arraigned today or yesterday. Cut number four.
Governor, what do you think about this split screen of you here in the field of dreams and former President Trump being arrested in Georgia?
Well, I'm glad I'm at the field of dreams. I'm happy to be here.
Completely misreading the moment. The guy is tone deaf. And then the smirk on his face, like he told a funny. Hey, I told a funny. Hey, honey, are you proud of me? Unbelievable, this guy. But anyway, DeSantis once again misses an opportunity. He doesn't seem to understand what is really going on in this country. All right, let's go back to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Rocco in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Rocco. What's on your mind?
A whole lot today, but last night, looking at that picture of President Trump, it brought back memories of my childhood when my dad, who was a mailman in downtown Atlanta, he had two pretty famous customers on his route. It was Martin Luther King and his father. My dad delivered mail to Ebenezer Baptist Church and to their home.
Is that right?
And yes. And routinely, there would be guys in a black car that would stop my father and try to look at the mail that he was delivering to Ebenezer and to Martin Luther King's home. And my dad said, no, I cannot show you this mail. I cannot, you know, I can't do that. It's against the law. And they routinely stopped him and tried to get him to do that, but he wouldn't do it. But he became friends with both Dr. King and his father. But the memory it brought back was having a mugshot is not always a bad thing, because Martin Luther King had a mugshot. And the same people who went after Martin Luther King did it by the same attitude, the same motivation, which was hatred. You have the same hatred here in Fulton County, Georgia, going after President Trump. And you just flip the racial roles, and it's the same thing. It's hatred of the man, and we're going to bring him down no matter what we got to do, whether we got to look at his mail, we got to bug his home. They did the same thing to Martin Luther King. The FBI did the same thing, and now the FBI is going after Donald Trump.
And by the way, keep in mind, at the time, Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican. So
yes,
we have a long history of the weaponized deep state, especially the FBI, targeting people of faith, targeting Republicans. And you're right, Rocco. I think go ahead.
My father would tell me about that. As a child, I was made very aware of politics really early. Because, you know, he would have conversations, you know, with Dr. King, and just, you know, he said, yeah, they're always out there. They're always looking at me. They're always trying to get something on me. And it's just brought back those memories that my dad would tell me about you know, things like that.
Rocco, it's a great memory. Yeah, you're right. It is a great memory, and it's a great reminder and comparison to what's happening with Donald Trump. And I'm with you. I did think back to that MLK mugshot from the Birmingham jail back so many years ago during the civil rights movement. It's a fair comparison to make. Rocco, appreciate that call. Let's go to Tariq in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Tariq. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, Mr. Starnes, you know, the last caller, you know, he had mentioned the fact that that Dr. King was jailed and he was, you know, he was fingerprinted, you know, and he was a Republican. And so, you know, I had thought about that, the fact that Martin Luther King was a Republican and that he was jailed and fingerprinted. But I think, you know, more importantly, you know, I think that that people should just disregard these mugshots. Because it's just, you know, it's just another way to try to smear Trump's reputation, and it's just another way to influence people not to vote for Donald Trump in this general election. And so, not just Trump supporters, but people in general should just disregard those mugshots. And look at this guy, those mugshots, and
well, Tariq, I think they are
not to be influenced by.
Yeah, what, I don't. Well, I would say they're not going. They are going to be influenced, and for me, I wasn't sure how I was. I'm not even sure I thought through how I would feel once I saw the mugshot. But I will say this, when I did see it, I felt anger and I felt rage. And it was amazing how quickly that happened. And I felt anger because of what the Democrats have done to this country, rage over how they have tried to destroy this man. They want to literally destroy Donald Trump. They want him to spend the rest of his life in jail. They want him to rot in that filthy jail in Fulton County, Georgia. And it is nothing more than the vilest of weaponizations of our federal government. It is appalling. And Tariq, I hear what you're saying. I don't think we should ignore it. And I don't think that we should discount it. I think we need to embrace it. And that mugshot, and I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but on Election Day, if I were you, I'd be wearing a Donald Trump T-shirt with that mugshot as I walked into the ballot box. That's what I'd be doing. All right, Tariq, appreciate that phone call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Bill in Statesville, North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Thank you for doing that, Bill. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you there, Todd. First of all, great to see you there a few weeks ago up at Mount Airy, and thanks for the snapshot. I'll keep that forever. But anyhow, let me go with this. You said earlier today, just now, about 20 years from now in the history book in the snapshot. And I'm just wondering, because here's why. You know, we got 7 million illegals in the country, more coming. Why? The Democrats think long view. Every one of those is going to have a family. They're going to pop out 4, 5, or 6. In 5 election cycles from now, there's going to be a tsunami. You know, they're going to have 30, 35, 40 million new Democratic voters in a tsunami 5 election cycles from now. That's how the Democrats think. Our problem with that is we've got to fix the 14th Amendment interpretation from the late 1900s that validated the status of the Indian nations and has been incorrectly applied, I think, since then to foreign nationals. You know, these anchor babies are not citizens. They, you know, between the clause there, the commas, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. We have got to fix that, or 5 cycles from now, we are going to be overwhelmed, and that picture won't be in the book because they won't let it.
Well, I mean, there's an argument to be made there, Bill, but again, I hope that somewhere, well, let me qualify it. Homeschooling textbooks, there will be that photograph in there. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too far into the weeds on that issue. But when you go back to Donald Trump trying to secure the border, he was trying to stop the flow of future Democratic voters into the country. I mean, that's in essence what he was trying to do. And that hasn't happened in the Biden administration. They've literally opened the floodgate. So I see what you're saying.
Yeah, everyone they've let in now, 5 years from now, five election cycles from now, they're going to be buku voters. How are you going to stop them?
Fair question. Bill, appreciate that call. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Lou in Lula, Georgia. Hey, Lou and Lula, what's going on?
Hey, man. Hey, I always think, you know, that mugshot, it reminds me like of a boxer, you know, like Muhammad Ali. All right. Another thing, too. You remember a couple of weeks ago, Donald Trump wrote, "If you come after me, I'm coming after you." And that's the look that he gave. You know, he's sending a message to those guys. That's just my opinion.
Lou, I'm with you there. Do you stand with the president?
Absolutely, I do. I mean, you know, I'm even trying to talk to these Democrat relatives of mine and, you know, trying to get them to see the light, what's going on. And so, but it's really hard. And so, but anyway, yeah, that was pretty much it. Oh, and Todd, and I'm hearing up there in New York, they got all these kids up there that can't speak English and they're going to their schools. I know I'm changing the subject, but my wife was a teacher. When all this was going to happen, they send all those kids up there. I laughed. That is funny because it'll hold all these kids back. And so, but like that guy said, every one of those kids is another supporter of the Democrats, and that's bad.
Well, so, there you go. Lou, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. So, look, we are going to regroup and take a break. This is Open Line Friday, so we'll talk today. Whatever you want to talk about, we have some great guests coming up, by the way. Hogan Gidley from Newsmax is going to be here. Also, our good buddy Charles Thorngren from Legacy Precious Metals is dropping by. And Robin Poffman is boots on the ground in Atlanta, and she'll be giving us the very latest on the what happened yesterday. In the meantime, I've got to tell you about our friends over at Newsmax, and they have a brand new poll up, and they need you to vote on this. They want to know your opinion on President Trump. Are you still supporting the former president? And you can vote right now in the Newsmax poll by texting the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. Now, it just takes a minute, literally 60 seconds, to let your voice be heard. They are going to share the results of the polling data with Congress, the media, and on Newsmax, which happens to be America's fastest-growing cable news channel. You can find Newsmax on all major cable systems. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax, and you should too. So vote now. Text SKIP to 39747. Yeah, it was sort of like the Mona Lisa of mugshots. Well done, Mr. President. By the way, you know what hasn't happened yet? And I'm curious to know why. The House of Representatives has yet to defund the Justice Department. Why is that? What are we waiting on here? How many more times do they have to target Donald John Trump before the Republicans take any action? That's the one power that the Republicans have. They hold the purse strings in Washington, D.C. They have the power to defund the Justice Department. We could literally shut all of this down, but they don't want to do it. And the reason why is very simple. Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. That's it. They've been talking about defunding the FBI, the Justice Department, for months now, and nothing has happened. Nothing at all. Now, again, I will say this. When you're looking at payback here, what about the Georgia State House? State lawmakers there, you now have the authority through your governor to remove Big Fannie Willis from her position as district attorney. So when are we going to start playing some hardball here? I just want to know when we're going to start playing ball. It's not even hardball, ladies and gentlemen. It's just, can we not even field a team to get out there and fight for us? You ought to be lighting up the phones on Capitol Hill right now, demanding that your representatives, your Republican leaders, your Republican representatives do their job and defund the Justice Department. All right, let's go back to the phones here. 844-747-8860. If they haven't done anything, they've done diddly squat. Let's go to WSIC in North Carolina, John, joining us. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, I just want to let you know, first of all, I agree with you 100%. When I saw that mugshot last night, it angered me and enraged me. But I'd really like to see Donald Trump add this phrase to his mugshots that he's putting on his cups and his T-shirts. You tell him Trump's coming and hell's coming with me.
Ooh, I like, wow. Maybe you haven't. I'd say heaven. Go, heaven's coming with the good guys.
Go to the goes against the Democrats and the rhinos.
I love it. John, appreciate that call. That's a great idea. But folks, we've got to do something. We've got to fight back here. And our elected leaders in Congress have that opportunity. They've got the power of the purse strings, but they don't want to use it. They do not want to use it. And Ron DeSantis, I don't know what this guy's thinking. You know, he actually thinks he won the debate earlier this week in Milwaukee. DeSantis does. Oh, I've got to share this information about Vivek Ramaswamy. You know, the guy, I know the Gen Zers love him, and so do the millennials. Well, I hear from him all the time. Todd, we've got to have somebody young, and Ramaswamy's, 38 years old? He's young. He's vibrant. He's different than all the other Republicans out there. No, I get it. I mean, he talks a good game. But once you start looking into him, you start wondering, is this guy really who he says he is? And that is an important thing for someone who doesn't have a track record when it comes to politics. The guy made his money as an entrepreneur, which is great. So did Donald Trump. But the difference is that we knew who Donald Trump was. He was in the public spotlight for generations, not Ramaswamy. So anyway, he was going back and forth with Mike Pence. And it's interesting because he was, months ago, he was praising Mike Pence for how he behaved on January the 6th. But then in the debate, he was attacking Mike Pence for his behavior on January the 6th. But that's not what gets me. So it turns out, you know, Ramaswamy had this great story, first generation American. His parents came to this country, and he made it seem, he implied, and maybe this is a lie of omission, but he made it seem like they were dirt poor and they came to this country looking for a better life, and he rose from nothing to greatness. As a matter of fact, he said at the debate, Vivek Ramaswamy said, I did not come from money. So basically he was telling us that he was poor. Well, now we find out that that's the farthest thing from the truth. So his dad and mom, mommy and daddy were a lawyer and a psychiatrist, and they were bringing in some big money. Matter of fact, Vivek Ramaswamy, as a teenager, started investing in the stock market, and he graduated from an elite private school. So again, if you're going to support someone like a Ramaswamy, then you better do your homework and you better make sure that this guy is just not feeding you a line. Because I'm telling you, there was something weird. There was something off about this guy. The incessant laughing, the constant insults, the smile. He never stopped smiling. Even as he was being attacked, he had this great big smile. So I don't know. To me, Ramaswamy sort of gave off that used car salesman vibe. But don't get me wrong, he has great teeth. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is Open Line Fridays. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I
this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right, got a note from one of our listeners in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. And we need your help here, folks. So pay attention to this crazy story out of the medical center, the VA Medical Center in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Again, the VA Medical Center, where an Air Force veteran walked in. He had a cold or something, and went into the VA Medical Center. And this guy, turns out he's an atheist, and he saw a POW MIA table. And if you've been in any sort of VFW hall, if you've been in any sort of a military facility, typically they will have in the mess hall, they will have a table that is set aside, that is set to honor prisoners of war and those missing in action. And it's an incredibly beautiful thing and very commonplace. One of the things that you see on these tables is a Bible. And that was certainly the case at the VA Medical Center in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And the atheist got upset, got triggered, and filed complaints. And that didn't go anywhere. So the guy contacts the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, and they fire off a nasty letter. This is Mikey Weinstein's organization. And they say the inclusion of the Bible on the POW MIA table is disrespectful and offensive and immoral and illegal. Well, this guy's a nut job because none of that is true. It's part of the display. And any of you that are military veterans, you can attest to this. So anyway, Weinstein demanded that the medical center remove the Bible, and they did. They removed the Bible. The Biden administration's VA Medical Center removed the Bible from the POW MIA table. This was not, folks, this was desecration. They desecrated that sacred table. Unbelievable. But again, we've got to right this wrong. So I would encourage you to reach out to the Veterans Administration, the VA Medical Center, the VA Medical Center in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and tell them to put that Bible right back on that table where it belongs. Clearly, though, God has no seat at Biden's table. You know, for somebody who says he's a devout Catholic, he really does hate Christianity, that president. All right, 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Robin Poffman joins us. And Robin, I know you had a seat of what was happening yesterday as President Trump surrendered to authorities there in that nasty, filthy jail in Atlanta.
It is one of the most disgusting places I have ever been. I've been to a lot of jails, not because I've been in jail, but covering other people over the years, Todd, who've been in jail. That place, the Fulton County Jail, is especially filthy. So I'm sure that when Trump got out of the black SUV and looked around, he probably called it a name that I can't say on the air right now.
A blank hole jail. A blank hole jail.
Yeah, clean it. You know, I even said to my husband yesterday, I said, I wonder if they like went to the $1.25 store and bought some Windex and some paper towels for $1.25. You know, because it's not the dollar store anymore; it's the $1.25 store.
That's true.
And so for $2.50, did they buy a paper towels and Windex and start like cleaning in there because it's so grotesque? That all said, all the traffic here in Atlanta, I had some friends that were over at the airport. You know, everything was shut down for this. And the roads, I-85, Interstate 85, which is a major thoroughfare here for anyone who's ever been up to the Atlanta airport, and 75, that interchange was closed. And they had this huge motorcade, and you had the whole Atlanta PD on motorcycles. I haven't seen this show of force. They should have this show of force, you know, to tackle criminals in Fulton County. The whole thing was ridiculous. Trump was here for all of maybe 15, 20 minutes, And it was just about one thing. It was just about getting the mugshot. And I have to tell you, Todd, when I saw the mugshot, I burst out laughing because the expression on former President Trump's face, for folks who haven't seen it yet, he's got like the scowl and he's just like looking into the camera and you can tell he's like angry, and it's just going to be on every mug and every T-shirt. And the whole thing, I mean, is bordering on the absurd. And now you have all these rhinos out there, Republicans in name only, who are saying, well, he's, you know, the Karl Roves of the world. Well, he's going to lose in the early states and the polls don't look good. I don't know if you've been paying attention to some of the rhino pundits that are circulating their theories and thoughts. I'm not sure that that's the case. I think that people are still in that 2016 mindset where they don't want to tell the pollsters that they're for former President Trump. I think that people are very closet about how they feel.
You know, Robin, I was watching CNN last night, and it was interesting. They were somewhat gleeful that Trump was going to be fingerprinted and the mugshot was going to be released. But when that mugshot came out, they got very alarmed, and with good reason, because it didn't do what they thought it was going to do.
No, because, you know, you're thinking about, you know, like thuggery and like people that look like, you know, mugshot. You think of someone who's like beat up with like, you know, stuff on their face or messed up or like in an orange jumpsuit or some like real criminal element. And you've got Donald J. Trump, 77 years old, in a navy suit with a crisp white shirt from the dry cleaner and, you know, the red classic tie. And the whole thing is almost like a meme of itself.
Robin, what kind of an impact do you think this is going to have in the primaries?
I just think it revs up both sides equally. I think that people that hate Trump and think that he is just a toxic human being that want Orange Man and his orange tan and his orange face and the orange jump in a prison jumpsuit want him behind bars even more. And then the MAGA crowd, Make America Great Again, and the COG, Keep America Great Again crowd are very, you know, jazzed up and juiced up. And they're like, this is ridiculous. And we're going to fight and we're going to tell 10 friends and we're going to, you know, take grandma to the polls. And we're going to, you know, vote all this garbage, all these other criminals out the door, the real criminals.
Robin Poffman's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Robin, I want to play some audio. This is Ron DeSantis. You know, he was up at the Field of Dreams doing the baseball thing. And right. they asked him about Donald Trump. And I want you to hear what DeSantis had to say.
Governor, what do you think about this split screen of you here in the Field of Dreams and former President Trump being arrested in Georgia?
Well, I'm glad I'm at the Field of Dreams. I'm happy to be here.
Robin, again, tone deaf, missed the mark and the moment.
Well, it's a big, you know, is he playing baseball or is he playing dodgeball? Because that was the ultimate dodge, right, Todd? I mean, he could have said, you know, one way or the other, but you talk about sitting on the fence. It almost reminds me of how he acted at the debate, where he looked around the room and took the temperature of the other seven people standing up there to see who was raising their hand, you know, if they would still be for Trump if he was indicted or not. And he's still reading the room. He's still not coming out with a firm position on where he stands with Trump. And that wishy-washiness doesn't play well with people who want to see this country turned around, Todd. And you know what I mean? Every hour of every day, I think about what's going on in Afghanistan with women not being able to go to school, terrorists regrouping. I think about what's going on in our southern and our northern border with Canada, with a lot of people that should not be in this country coming here to do evil deeds. I think about the economy. I think about the gas in my tank that I just filled up an hour ago for almost $4 a gallon. I've got a whole laundry list of items. I'm a regular person like you are, and those are the things I'm thinking about. And when I look for who I'm going to, you know, pull the lever for, I want someone who has an opinion, a strong opinion, and someone who has conviction. And that's why I voted for Trump twice. I mean, I'm proud of my choice. This is a man who has conviction.
And that's what was missing on that stage, the debate stage. And a Washington Post polling coming out, DeSantis and is in the lead barely. Ramaswamy in their poll is second place. And then Nikki Haley. And it seems to me that I've been hearing a lot of the establishment types talking up Nikki Haley over the past couple of days. And I'm wondering if they're looking at DeSantis and realizing, wow, he's not ready for prime time just yet.
I don't think it's about that. I think that he's more like Trump. I think that they don't want conservative leadership in there. And everyone knows that Nikki Haley is a rhino. She's like Trump. She reminds me of like Jeb Bush as a woman. Like they're the same person, the same mentality of person. I just, when I see her and I listen to her, this has nothing to do with it, you know, female, male. It's about what's coming out of her mouth. And she just reminds me of the Bushes. Is it like that for you, Todd, or not?
Yeah, no, it is. It's very weird and off-putting. I will say she knocked it out of the ballpark with the answer on abortion. And the issue there is not abortion. It's the messaging around the issue that's the problem. You know, by the way, Ramaswamy, a fascinating report coming out today. There's something off about that guy. And now we're learning, you know, he announced to the crowd at the debate that he came from no money. He was, you know, he was a poor immigrant family coming over from India. But it turns out that his father was a lawyer, the mother a psychiatrist. He actually went to a wealthy, elite private school and was already invested in the stock market as a teenager. So, people have to do their homework on these guys.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think, though, at the end of the day, you know, whether he went to public school or private school, I know what you're saying, like everybody has to be vetted on every single line item and every single detail. But I'm telling you, we're paying attention. We as media people, as conservative media, Todd, we're in deep, deep, deep in the weeds. And I'm telling you, I spoke to a news friend of mine today in California, and I ran his name by her. She didn't know who he was.
Hmm. And all of this time and energy wasted when we ought to be focusing on Donald Trump.
I could not agree more. And I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what's really scary and what the Dems want. The Dems want Trump tied up with this court calendar. And when you really see it laid out, like all the different, you know, news stations have the calendar and it fills up a whole graphic of all the different dates that he's supposed to be going to court. That's what this is all about, because they know they can't win on the issues. But I will tell you this, what's really shameful in this whole equation, and you and I have been talking about this for almost 30 years now, right? The mainstream media's role in being an arm of the Democratic Party and not running the laptop story back in 2020, Miranda Devine, laptop from hell, shutting down the New York Post article from being shared on Facebook and Twitter and X and other social media platforms. And they're doing it again now, you know, by not running the Burisma story and not running Hunter Biden and not running Joe Biden and all the Biden grandchildren and the sister and the brother who also got the money. By not running these stories by omission is unto itself bias.
Exactly. That is exactly right. Robin, we got to wrap it up. We are super late for a break. Always great hearing from you, and thanks always for your great insight.
Have a great weekend, Todd. God bless.
All right. Robin Puffman, ladies and gentlemen, great journalist. All right, we're going to the phones. Open line Friday, by the way. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, our good friend Art from WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina, said don't forget about his connection to Soros, talking about Ramaswamy. So it turns out that Ramaswamy was already a millionaire when he accepted a cash reward or award from Paul Soros. That was George's brother. Got a scholarship, $90,000 from Paul Soros and his wife, Daisy. So Ramaswamy defended it, saying he just didn't have enough money to pay for school, even though he was a millionaire at the time. So, Art, it's a great point, an excellent point. All right, let's go to the phones real quick here, 844-747-8868. Chris in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Chris, what's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Starnes. Thank you for taking my call. I'll make this real quick. We need to be ready, us conservatives, because you know that the left is going to put somebody out there and create a false narrative by creating, you know, some havoc or doing some heinous act and claim that they are a Trump supporter, when we all know that that person will not be a Trump supporter. This is a setup. And then I'd like to tell everybody, if you can, go watch there's a documentary called Mao, the Chairman of Death. And what we are facing are Maoists. These people are Maoists. And everything that you've seen that has happened in society, using the children and everything like that. And I got a warning for the people on the left. Once the Democrat Party gets through using you to achieve their goals, once you don't go along with what they want to do to you, then you're next. Because that's exactly what Mao did. When the people did what he told them to do, and then when they said, hey, hang on a second, he's taking it too far, what did he do? He starved the country to death. And so, the left, these people who are, you know, serving the Democrat Party and doing their dirty work and doing all these things, once the Democrats are done with you, they're going to dump on you, and they're going to put you in jail, or they're going to put you in a prison camp. So just that's just how it's going to happen.
Chris, look, when you look at world history, you know, history does have a way of repeating itself. And when you look at what's happening around here of late, it's certainly looking more and more like the old Soviet Union back in the early days. And I'm talking going all the way back to 1937, where you had the purge and all of the political enemies were rounded up and thrown into prison. That's what I remembered, and that's what I thought about when I saw the photographs of Trump and his attorneys and some of his former White House aides. It is a very dangerous time in America right now. Chris, we appreciate that call. We've got to run. Hang tight, folks. We have two lines open, 844-747-8868. We're going to get to your calls. That's 844-747-8868. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to a mom who spoke out at a school board meeting and ended up losing her job as a result of it. Unbelievable. She was standing up against this sexual revolution in the classroom. We're going to be talking to Janet Roberson of Benicia, California, coming up next here on the Todd Stern Show. All right, this story out of Valencia, California is just mind-boggling. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, everybody. So, a lady by the name of Janet Roberson, she's got three kids, and she went to a school board meeting and ended up getting fired from her job for speaking her opinion at the school board meeting. And I am proud to have Janet on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Janet, thank you. I hope you're doing well today.
I am, and thank you for sharing my story.
So I want you to set this up for us. So you're a mom, you've got three kids, and what troubled you so much that you had to go to the school board meeting?
So the school put out new sexual education curriculum, and a lot of parents are too busy to read that. Typically, I am as well. But it kind of caught my eye. I knew that new things were kind of coming into the classroom that concerned me. So I really did a deep dive into what this curriculum said. And I requested it from the school district to read through everything. And the items that really troubled me the most was, first of all, generally speaking, they no longer include male and female as separate. They basically are introducing to the children that gender is fluid. You can be a boy, you can be a girl. It doesn't matter what your chromosomes are. So that obviously is not medically accurate or scientific, and that bothers me. And then one thing that disturbed me a lot is for 10-year-olds, they're going to be teaching them that if they feel uncomfortable during adolescence, they can take puberty blockers. And that also disturbs me. I'm not a doctor, but I'm thinking that if you delay or stop normal human development, that can't be very healthy for a child. They are talking about things that are really shouldn't be introduced to children at the 12-year-old level. They're teaching about oral and anal sex, and that really, really disturbs me. My children hardly know about sex at all, much less being taught about that sort of thing. So that's just a few of the items. There's several, but a lot of that disturbed me.
So you go to this school board meeting on April the 20th, and I'm stunned here because apparently they're even teaching the gender identity stuff in math class. I'm not sure what that has to do with long-form division, Janet. It makes no sense to me.
I completely agree. So a quick explanation on that. My 11-year-old came home last year from school, and this was curriculum the parents weren't even allowed to review. They just started teaching it. And she said, "Hey, Mom, we talked about what mix means today in class." And I didn't know what that meant. And I said, "Well, what do you mean mix?" And she said, "Well, you know, if someone doesn't want to be Mr. or Miss or Mrs., they can go as mix, which is MX, period, I guess." And I said, "Oh, well, how did you learn this?" And she said, "Well, we were in math, and one of the math problems was Mix Smith and Mix Brown go to the store and each buys so many potatoes. You know how these word problems go." And I said, "In math?" And she said, "Yes, our math teacher took a good portion of the class to explain that means you're non-binary. That means you're not male or female." And I was just shocked. And I thought, really, our kids have been out of school, at least out here in California, for like 2 years. My children missed their education because of all the mandatory lockdowns. And now in math, when my kids are trying just to catch up and learn basic math, they're introducing this non-binary, gender fluid type of thing in word problems in a math class. That's absolutely unacceptable. There's no need to introduce that. So I called the school board and they said, "Well, we're just trying to be more inclusive." And I said, "Well, that's not inclusive. How about we just teach math?" So that was one of the things that really bothered me as well.
So you go to this meeting. I mean, did you yell at anybody? Did you threaten any of the school board members?
No, absolutely not. I was very professional. Anyone who wants to view it, they're welcome to. I posted it on my site, which is beneshafreedom.org. You can see for yourself. I was very reasonable, very professional. I just spoke about what I discussed with your listeners just now, kind of said, "Hey, here are my objections." There was no sort of threat, nothing belligerent, no.
All right, so you go, you say your piece, you share your concerns. And then 11 days later, what happens?
So, yes, exactly. So pretty soon after that school board meeting, some friends in town had called and said, "Hey, did you see what was printed in the newspaper about you?" And I said, "Well, no." So I ran out, bought a couple newspapers, old school newspapers, and they had printed these letters that someone had written in basically saying that I'm a transphobe and a homophobe and I'm bigoted. I'm a daughter of Hitler, that I support eugenics, which didn't make any sense, just all kinds of crazy insults. And they, in these letters, they basically described me as a Compass real estate agent, which I was at the time. But of course, when I spoke to the school board meeting, I never mentioned being a real estate agent or that I worked for Compass. I simply identified myself as a mom. So I was shocked. I was horrified when I saw that. Couldn't believe that this had been printed in the newspapers. No one from the newspapers ever called me or asked me about it. And then there's a group in our town called the Progressive Democrats of Benicia, and their treasurer, I guess, had started writing to Compass, my company, directly and saying, "Hey, you should know that you've employed a transphobe, a homophobe, and we demand that you make some explanation for why a transphobe would be a Compass agent." And sure enough, my company got panicky, I guess, and never called me, never discussed it with me. And I'm told it was a corporate decision although corporate's now saying it was more of a local decision. Regardless, the corporate representative, the regional director in my area, called me on May 1st, which was the deadline date that the Progressive Democrats of Benicia treasurer had given him to say, well, you better disavow Janet Roberson. And sure enough, he did. And then Compass turned around and confirmed to the Progressive Democrats of Benicia that, in fact, I had been fired. I was no longer doing business with them. And I was just shocked. I couldn't believe that it happened.
So where are we at now? Have you been able to get your job back? I mean, is there any kind of a lawsuit? What's going on now?
Yeah, great question. So I just was devastated when that first happened. And I thought, well, there's no way this can be legal, right? It's America, and moms should be able to speak at school board meetings. So I immediately started calling attorneys. And, you know, I don't have an attorney. I didn't know who to turn to. I just kind of started reaching out to everyone I could think of to get some answers. And what I was told was, because as a realtor, I'm actually an independent contractor. I'm not an employee. And I would imagine a lot of your listeners are also independent contractors, maybe Uber drivers or drive for Amazon or work for Amazon. And as independent contractors, we do not have the same protections that an actual employee would have. So the lawyers basically said, there's really nothing we can do for you. So that was super frustrating. And so I just kind of went underground for a few weeks, kind of licking my wounds and trying to figure out what to do next, because it's financially devastating to me. And then last week decided to make a video explaining what happened. And then it went viral, which I'm really grateful for, that people are now aware of the story. And I'm hoping that we as Americans can maybe come up with some protections for independent contractors to also have free speech protection.
Well, I completely agree, and the concern I have is this would somehow discourage other people from speaking out at school board meetings. But really, we have to double down. I mean, you've done nothing wrong here, and the fact that you've got these radical progressive groups out there that are trying to stifle free speech in America, that is beyond troubling.
I completely agree. If anything, I hope I inspire people. So I hope that my story does not scare people and think, oh, gosh, I better not say anything. Same thing might happen to me. I feel like if all of us stood up and said, no, moms and dads should be able to speak at school board meetings. They should not be able to lose their jobs. There's definitely strength in numbers. And Todd, I'll tell you, the feedback I've gotten since this has all kind of gone viral, I've gotten so many messages from across the country, people just pouring out support. So I know that we're out there. I know that if we all come together as a group and say no more, this is ridiculous, we're not going to allow it, I really feel like we are going to prevail.
All right, folks, there's a great website, BeniciaFreedom.org, BeniciaFreedom.org. Gotta go to that website and watch Janet's video. It's just really powerful, very well done, and it lays it all out there. And it's just unacceptable in America that a mom could lose her job simply for speaking at a school board meeting. And Janet, I know you've also got a Give, Send, Go account as well. And where can people go if they want to help out?
Oh, that is so. Thank you so much for mentioning that. There's a group in Sacramento here in California, Students First, and they did set up a Give, Send, Go for us to fight this sort of thing, this cancel culture, and I was so grateful that they did. It's not coming to me. I'm happy to give all that money toward the fight of stopping cancel culture. So we've actually found a good attorney now who's going to try to fight this and make sure we get First Amendment rights for independent contractors too. And that's a great question, Todd. I don't have the link. I think if you were to Google.
Well, we've got it right here. Give, Send, GiveSendGo.com. Canceled Mom. Unfortunately, they misspelled cancel. So it's CANCLED Mom. So Canceled Mom. And you'll be able to give some funds and donate there to help the cause, which I think is just a noble cause. So, Janet, thank you again for coming on the program, and keep us updated on how things go.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm grateful that you shared my story. Thank you.
All right. Janet Roberson, ladies and gentlemen, Roberson, rather. She is a mom of three in Benicia, California. She lost her job because she spoke out at a school board meeting. Unbelievable. We're going to have more on this story up on our website, toddstearns.com, later today. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going right to the phones. Open line Friday, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Let's go to Minnesota. James is listening to us on our awesome app, and he disagrees with me on Vivek Ramaswamy. James, I'm all ears.
Okay, my friend, let me first say, you are my favorite talk show host, and I listen to a myriad of hosts, everybody from Steve Bannon to Owen Schroyer. But I came across Ramaswamy a few weeks ago, and I started listening to every interview and speech that I could find of his. Now, you're talking about him saying he came off as poor. I didn't hear that. But I did hear him talk about the caste system in India, where his family was upper caste. So, I mean, there might be some credence to what you're saying about him saying the poor thing, but I never heard it. I can't understand why you don't think he's conservative. Every position that I've heard him enunciate is conservative. He's pro-life. He's anti-global warming or climate change. I mean, tell me a position that he's taken that's not conservative.
Well, James, a couple of months ago, he said that climate change was a serious issue, and then during debate, he said it was not. And my concern there, just like he praised Mike Pence a while back on how he handled J6 and then attacked him in the debate. So we've had him on the show and I've interviewed him, and he certainly sounds conservative to me. But in fact, he doesn't have a track record. And that's honestly, that was a problem with Donald Trump. He did not have a track record. He said, you're going to have to trust me. And I did. And, he delivered. And that's not to say Ramaswamy won't deliver. I'm just saying right now, I got a lot of questions about the guy.
I see Ramaswamy as a younger, better Trump, okay, without the vaccines to muddy his background.
Now, he says he was a libertarian during college and then didn't vote for the longest time. So, but he says he voted for Trump in 2020, but did not vote in 2016.
One thing that disturbs me about him is that when they asked, did Biden win the election fair and square, he hedged on that, and he said that, well, if the public had known about Biden's laptop, it would have been a different election. Well, that might be the case, but that, to me, is a far cry from the election being stolen. I don't know how you could crunch those numbers and have it, and you'd have to prove to me that it wasn't stolen after knowing that it was mathematically impossible for Biden to win. So that does disturb me, and that would give credence to your position that he changes spots. So far, I have not heard him change positions. Every position I've heard him enunciate has been strongly conservative.
I'm not arguing that point, because you're right. I mean, he's talking the talk, but when you start going back, and there's not a lot of substance there as far as a track record, because he's never been in office before. So he's certainly a very successful businessman, no doubt about that. He's done a great job, wrote a great book exposing wokeness in the culture. I agree with that. I'm just saying, we really need to get to the bottom of a lot of these issues where he seems to be talking out of both sides of his mouth.
I agree. Let's see if we can put that together where we can make him confront those issues, because I don't want to vote for him blindly, but I can just say that from what I've heard and observed, he seems like a great candidate. And I love the idea that he's a self-made multimillionaire. Well, if you make the point that his parents were like wealthy or had money, that might be the case.
Oh, look, and good for them. And good for them. Honestly, I would have redone that narrative, because I think it was a lie of omission, because he said he didn't come from money, but clearly he did. He wanted people to give the impression that his parents were just fresh off the boat immigrants, when in fact they were very successful. So
I don't think he came from Trump type money. but he wasn't. I'll have to agree, he was not poor.
Yeah.
But have you heard him talk about being in the Hindu caste?
I did, yes. And James, we're going to have him. We've invited him back on the show, and we'll have another fine conversation, and we'll get to the bottom of all these questions.
Well, please, that'd be great. And I listen to you every day, so well, I'll hear it when it comes on.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to us in Minnesota, James, and God bless. Let's go to Rob in Jackson, Tennessee, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Rob. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, since it's open Mike Friday, and you're talking about, you know, a lot of you callers, I've been listening the last couple of hours, and by the way, I love that mama bear that stood up for her children.
Isn't she a great
problem?
She's a great mom. Is.
I tell you what, if she needs money, I'll send her a $100 check if I know where to send it. I mean that, because she put her own line for the kids. She's a good one, good mother. Everybody calls in and talks about rhinos in the establishment, and all the focus seems to be on D.C. But now you're in Tennessee, you know we have Senator Bill Hagerty.
Yes, and Senator Marsha Blackburn.
And,
yeah,
and right. Well, they were not the Tennessee establishment picks when they first ran. One of my good friends, that he gets me in behind candidates. He's a political consultant, and he got behind Bill Hagerty, and he called you-know-what for it, but he brought Bill Hagerty to a Lincoln Day dinner here, and you know who he is, and he paid a personal price. He rocked the local Madison County establishment backing Bill Hagerty, but he's been a consultant. And he caught it, and I think you know him. His name's Frankie Lex. He's got a show. He grew up around Elvis, too, by the way. He's got a Memphis connection. But Frankie backed Hagerty. You know, they had a doctor that the East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee Republicans wanted. And Frankie and a couple others got on board, and he convinced me Bill Hagerty was the better choice. And I've become a political maverick. I don't.
Well, Rob, the computer's going to cut us off. Do you like Hagerty now?
I love him. I'm a maverick. I don't vote for what
there you,
Republicans
all right.
tell me to do.
I don't blame you one bit, Rob. Good for you. Bill Hagerty is a good man. So is Frankie Lax, too. Great radio show there in West Tennessee. We'll be right back, America.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And welcome, everybody. Happy Friday to you, America. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and we have a lot going on this hour of the program. By the way, it is Open Line Friday, so whatever you want to talk about, we can talk about today. All you have to do is pick up the phone, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So it was interesting, Sarah Palin making some headlines. She says, by the way, she was on Newsmax last night, and she said that those who are conducting this travesty, talking about what's happening with President Trump, those who are conducting this travesty and creating this two-tier system of justice, I want to ask them, what the heck do you want us to be in? Civil war? Because that's what's going to happen. A lot of people are very upset about this. She says, we're not going to keep putting up with this. And again, I think this goes back to the brilliance of President Trump and the strategy behind this mugshot, which now has become an iconic image in American history and conservative pop culture. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line? Our good buddy, Hogan Gidley. He is a senior advisor for communications and a Newsmax spokesperson, also with America First Policy. Hogan, the man can take a pretty good mugshot. I got to give credit where credit is due.
he can take a good mug shot. He can take a good punch, and he's taken several. Before he was president, they went after him. While he was president, they went after him. Now he's not president, they're going after him. I mean, my goodness, attacking friends and family and staff. It's unbelievable what this man has had to endure. And I think when you take a look at that picture, you look into those eyes and what you see is a man in his mind who's thinking, bring it. You want some of this? Bring it on, because I'm in it for the fight. I'm in it for the American people. And in those eyes, you see really what a lot of Americans feel, which is the brunt, not just of horrible policies from the Biden administration they've been forced to live with now for a couple of years, but also the weaponization of a federal government against those it disagrees with politically. And 77% of the people in this country believe it's a politically motivated attack against Donald Trump. And how can you not, when you see the coincidences that seem to occur, that every time bad news comes out about Hunter or Joe Biden, the very next day, it's an attack on Donald Trump somehow, some way. And by the way, it's not just Donald Trump. And that's what you kind of see behind that face he's making in that mugshot, is he understands that if you stand up for life, the federal government goes after you and you go to jail. If you stand up to find out what your kids are learning in school, the federal government comes after you. If you don't want teachers transing your kids behind your back, they're coming after you. If you question the Hunter Biden laptop, you're in trouble. This is what the government has been doing. So if you're liking the wrong tweets or downloading the wrong podcast, attending the wrong speeches, or Todd, listening to the wrong radio stations,
yeah,
you're going to be in trouble, according to the federal government. And I'm glad he's standing up for us. I'm glad he's standing up for himself. And he said it best in Erie, Pennsylvania, they're not indicting me, they're indicting you. And I think it's a real problem for the left as they overplay their hand continuously.
I saw in that photo, and I was out to dinner last night. Someone sent it to me, and at first I thought it was a fake. But then we saw the official documentation, and we're like, holy cow. Because it was as if he was really, he has become the face of the nation. This idea that enough is enough. It stops now. And I think that's what terrifies the media, because CNN and MSNBC, they were actually looking forward to this mugshot until it came out. And now they're like, oh, crap.
I was at NBC at the time. I mean, I had to dodge all the corks they were popping from the champagne before they were going on air. So excited about what was occurring. They don't realize how damaging this is to our country. Of course, they don't really care, even if they knew how damaging it was, because it's all about gaining and maintaining political power for the left. But he is the tip of that spear. And so all the people I mentioned who are being targeted by a weaponized government, understand he's got the bully pulpit. He's got the megaphone. He is the culmination of a lot of hurt, of a lot of fear, of a lot of anger, and a lot of resentment by the people in this country who continue to get kicked down by this government for no good reason other than they disagree with where people inside the government stand politically. That's no good. And the fact that the lack of self-awareness, and on top of that, the self-righteousness of those on the left who attack us, to watch Tony Blinken go on television from the Biden administration and say, we condemn other nations who continue to jail their political opponents. What are you talking about? You're doing that. How about condemning yourself? How about not doing that in a country that's supposed to be free? They are taking away our constitutional rights. We are more polarized than ever. And this is their plan and has been from the outset.
There's some great video. I want to read the caption here. And it was of the motorcade as it was leaving the Fulton County jail and that squalor of the jail. And the person says, Trump pulled up to the hood after he left the Fulton County jail yesterday, the hood showing major love to President Trump. The media can no longer hide it. And sure enough, the video shows people just standing on the sidewalks applauding and cheering President Trump as he heads back to the airport.
It's one of those best-kept secrets that Donald Trump, when he talked about building the wall, Republicans in the establishment said, oh, he's never going to win Hispanics. And everyone on the left said, oh, he's lost the Hispanic community. He won more Hispanics than Mitt Romney ever did, than John McCain ever did. He got 20% of the black male vote the second time around, too, expanding some of our reach into the African-American community who've been ignored and used as political pawns by the left for decades. This man cuts across all types of racial, gender, political lines because his policies are those that uplift all Americans, regardless of race, religion, color, or creed. And people understand that what Donald Trump did in office, the policies he implemented and the policies he pushed, they're 70-30, 80-20 issues. We do it at the America First Policy Institute, too. Those policies are ones that are designed to uplift the American people, to give them opportunities, to give their families a brighter hope for the future. What we're seeing now from the Biden administration is the exact opposite. Wars are breaking out all over the world. The southern border is an absolute disaster. It is a crisis situation with more drugs and human trafficking and child smuggling than we'd ever seen before. We are reliant on dictators and despots all over the world for our energy when we have it all right here at home. Wages, sure, they've gone up a bit. But the inflation has wiped out any of those gains, and families are actually losing thousands of dollars a year as opposed to Donald Trump's policies for the economy that gained us thousands of dollars a year. The differences are so stark. And one more thing I'll say about differences. When you see the juxtaposition of this government and who it prosecutes versus who it protects in real time, so now you don't have to look back 10, 20 years to find out what other presidents kept documents. You see Joe Biden has documents. He's not in trouble. You see Hillary Clinton had documents. She's not in trouble either. Pence, worked with him, love him. He had documents. He's not in trouble. Only Donald Trump is in trouble. So the juxtaposition of things happening in real time and the way they coddle those elites and the way that they go after everyone else is a real problem for the left. And the more we talk about it, the more we expose it, people understand it's not about politics. This is something that has to do with our constitutional rights and the future of this country.
All right. Well, Hogan, we got to leave it there. Good stuff as always. And this is going to be a long, long slog, and we'll see how things go. But I'm telling you, I think everybody is underestimating the power of Trump right now.
I agree. They've done it before. I think they're doing it now, and they're definitely underestimating the power of the American people. Yeah.
All right. Hogan Gidley, everybody. You see him on Newsmax. From America First Policy Institute. Hogan, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. There you go. By the way, this just coming in. The White House pool is with Biden, who is on vacation again. You know, he went to Maui where he cracked jokes, fell asleep during the memorial service, and compared his small kitchen fire to the devastation where more than 1,000 people may have died. And now he's in Lake Tahoe. And the pool report says that they are now bound for an unknown destination. They say the White House press pool time was moved up this morning, and now they don't know where they're going. We're going to keep you updated on that. That's sort of strange. So we don't know what's going on over there, except that Biden is perpetually on vacation. All right, here's the deal. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have full line. So if you're getting a busy signal, keep dialing. Again, our number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, Dinesh D'Souza writing this. Let's see if I can get this right, Dylan. In the urban black community, oh boy. Oh dear, Dinesh is going there. Dinesh says, in the urban black community, a mugshot can be an iconic symbol, both of victimization and of greatness. It's a defiant up yours to the man. Think Tupac. You know, when I think about Trump, Tupac's not the first person that comes to mind, but okay. D'Souza goes on to say, Trump is now the ultimate gangsta in our culture. Gangsta Trump. Gangsta D. Trump. I don't know. We got to get him a good name. The D-Man. Is that? Okay. We'll work on it. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. We're going to start with Mark in the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Hey, Mark, what's going on in Florida today?
Hey, Todd. you know who that Chuck Todd for NBC is, right? That waste of air?
Yes, I know him. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He states when Discovery comes out, Trump may survive that too. No kidding, Chucky. Then he goes on to say, when is this fatigue with the Republicans going to set in? Well, NBC Chucky, let me say this. Either the Republicans let fatigue set in and we give up, or we take a stand behind Trump and take back this country before it's too late. Chucky also goes on to say, at some point, the straw will break on Trump's back. Strength beats out fatigue, Chucky, when it comes to saving this country.
You know, Mark, that's the goal here, and that's why it's scandal after, and they're all fake scandals, but fake scandal after fake scandal after fake scandal, because they know that it's going to wear down people, and people are going to forget what the truth is. And at some point, it doesn't matter what the truth is. They're just tired. They're just so tired of all the negativity. So this is all part of the Democrat strategy here.
Yeah, they're just underestimating the millions that love him. And, you know, that I think he took an awesome picture yesterday. Trump has that determined look like a war eagle.
He's a handsome man, yes.
Yeah, I can't wait until Trump has his TV documentary come out about his uprising and stuff. On the other hand, I'm also looking at the comedy part of it. Who's going to play the characters of Obama and Biden and Hillary? And the cartoon part, or not cartoon, but the comedy side of it. He's going to make millions just on his movie when he's all done, said and done.
It's going to be great. I'll tell you that much. Mark, appreciate it. By the way, you can already go to the Trump website. They're selling all sorts of mugshot merch. Got to go check that out. All right, let's go to Rick in Atlanta. Hey, Rick, what's on your mind?
You know, I sat online for over an hour and a half, 2 hours, because I was absolutely infuriated with you. You compared Donald Trump with Dr. King. That was the most insulting thing you could have ever done. Who does that?
Why was it insulting? Why would
it? What does Donald Trump sacrifice? Dr. King sacrificed his life. I found it very infuriating that you and your listeners would put that out in the air. That's the type of stuff you want the kids to be taught. The second thing is, Dr. King being a Republican, who was it that stopped the Dr. King Day? Republicans. So why would y'all bring up him being a Republican?
Because he was a Republican.
But it was the Republicans who stopped his holiday, right? It was the Republicans who didn't want to celebrate him, right? So why would you bring up that? That was a different Republican Party. Stop peeing on our head and telling us it's rain.
Well, we're not peeing on anybody here, Rick. As a matter of fact, we're in full control of our bladders.
I listen to you every day.
Well, thank you.
You know what? You are my favorite white supremacist today.
Well,
that's what you are.
You're how am I a white supremacist? I want to get back to the MLK Trump thing, but how am I a white supremacist?
You listen to yourself. Who listens to you? If you're not a white supremacist, the white supremacists believe you are. Isn't that what they say?
What?
You got the stripes. You got the stripes. When you walk like a duck and you talk like a duck, it's a duck.
Well, given me no evidence. How am I a white supremacist? That's what I'm trying to understand here, Rick. And I appreciate you listening to us every day.
Listen to your Alvin Bragg crap. That was racist all day. Your Alvin Bragg gimmick is racist. All of a sudden now you guys want to get rid of Fannie as if she did anything wrong. Oh, Donald Trump the King can't be prosecuted. What is that? Only a white supremacist thinks that some rich man can't be prosecuted.
No, that's not it at all, Rick. And the comparison to Trump, and let me explain this here. So Martin Luther King was falsely attacked, right? He was thrown in jail for doing nothing. He did nothing wrong at all. The FBI spied on MLK and did horrible things to his family. That is not okay. And as a matter of fact, I've been pretty vocal about that since we've started this radio program. And the same way the FBI went after MLK, who was a Republican, the same thing is happening to Republicans in modern day America. And I believe that they are being unfairly persecuted, just as MLK was unfairly persecuted.
Well, you didn't think it then, did you? When he was being persecuted, nobody thought.
What? Well, I wasn't even alive then, but I think I would have. No, I really wasn't alive.
You had this caller coming in talking about his father was the mailman and he spoke with him.
Yes.
This is all foolishness.
But it's foolishness.
This is why y'all don't want the real history taught in.
It sounds to me, Rick, like you may have a problem with white folks.
No, white supremacists. Yes, I do. White supremacists. I have a problem with white supremacists. If you think that this is only Americans are white and straight male, you're wrong. That's a white supremacist mindset.
No, I don't believe that. What are you talking about? Where have I ever said that? Name the day that I have said that.
You don't want women making the choices of their own body, but you don't want the government to tell you to wear a seatbelt.
Wait, what?
A Republican is a hypocrite.
Where did we get the seatbelts?
A Republican is a hypocrite. Anybody who's a Republican is a hypocrite.
You don't want
the government telling you that you got to wear seatbelts or you got to, you know, do any other restrictions, but you want to tell the government to tell the women you got to have this child.
All right.
You can't have an abortion.
This is
your mindset.
All right, as a Republican. I'm not sure how we got from seatbelts to Trump, but Rick, I appreciate you hanging on. I appreciate your passion, but you're incredibly wrong, sir. And I do think you may have a problem with people of the Caucasian persuasion, if I may be so bold. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Wow. Woo! That must be hot in Atlanta today. People kind of get a little ornery. All right, there's a Washington Post story, and they're doing a piece on these gold companies, the companies that sell gold and silver coins, and the headline, How Right-Wing News Powers the Gold IRA Industry. They say ads for gold coins have become a mainstay on Fox News, Newsmax, and other conservative outlets, even as regulators have accused some companies of defrauding their elderly clients. Well, our good friends over at Legacy Precious Metals, I just love these guys. And they've been very good to me over the years. And I thought, you know what, we're going to bring our good buddy Charles Thorngren on. He is the chief executive officer of Legacy Precious Metals to talk about this. Charles, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing great. Thanks, Todd. Thanks for asking.
So it was fascinating. I had a chance to read the article. I know you have as well. And some of these major gold companies are under fire because of the outrageous rates they've been charging their clients. And there was a major Washington Post article as well as a Breaking Point segment. Can you explain what's going on here?
Yeah. When you look at it, when you read the article, and, you know, I do want to point out by saying that this is probably the first real journalism we've had from the Washington Post in about a decade. So wow. I'm thankful for that. it really comes down to one of the things that we talk about all the time, having conversations with customers and doing what's right for them. That's what we focus on. You see these companies here, and when you read the article, you see some of the markups that they have. And it's not about the customer. It's about them making money. It's about greed. And we approach it from a different standpoint. We truly say that, you know, when we say we want the customer to get what's right for them, that is truly what we focus on. So you're never going to see these kind of markups. And in that ad, you'll see some of them charge as much as a 90% markup. Very hard for the customer to make money when you're taking it all the way right up front.
That's a fair point. And, you know, another big challenge is, a lot of folks just don't know how to invest in gold. And a lot of these companies are pushing what they're calling rare coins. So maybe you can help our listeners understand what's the difference between those coins compared to, say, bullion coins, and why do they push these coins?
Right. And that's a great question. When you look at the difference between a rare coin and a bullion coin or a bullion bar, the key difference is your bullion items, they trade based on the spot price of gold. That is the investment vehicle. That is the hedge against inflation, because as inflation goes up, gold goes up. The cost of gold goes up. So your coins go up. Your bars go up. When you're investing in a rare coin, it's a great story, but it's not necessarily an investment. They're going to talk to you about a coin that, you know, there's only 150 of them left in known universe. You're buying more of a collector item than you are an investment in gold. And its value goes up on its rarity, not based on the spot price of the metal that it's in. And there's a key difference. I'm not saying that collector coins aren't great, but that's not where you attach your IRA to. That's not where you attach the money you need to survive on. If you want a collectible piece, they're fantastic. If you want an investment, you've got to steer clear.
And the key here is transparency, and it has to be. And if you're folks, if you're looking at a gold company or a precious metals company, and they're not transparent, you got to be careful. And that's one of the things I love about you guys, Charles, at LegacyPMInvestments.com. You guys are very transparent about what you do. So maybe you can explain how Legacy does business differently than the other guys.
We are completely different from the point that we're in business to help our customers. We look at this as a lifelong journey with our customer base. You may only buy from us one time. It doesn't mean we disappear. We're there. If you have questions, we're there to answer them. But more importantly is we don't charge too much for the metals that we purchase. You know, you need to be able to see the investment criteria there. And you're only going to do that by dealing in the items that make financial sense, the items with a low commission attached to them, the items that are widely available and reputable and known. So these are the key differences. Rather than getting some specialty coin that no one else has ever heard of, you have a problem with that coin when you go to turn around and sell it again. And these companies know that. And when they're adding their, you know, they'll say 35 to 50%, you know, premiums on those coins, you're never going to get that with us. We hover in the 7 to 10%, depending on the item. And that's across the board because that's fair value. That's good business. That's taking care of your customer.
LegacyPMInvestments.com is the website. You go there and you will see Newt Gingrich staring at you. Newt Gingrich says, at Legacy, we offer personalized customer service. We listen and provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision. They also provide a free gold guide, which I would encourage you to check out, just to help you in the learning process and to learn how gold and silver can protect your retirement. Look, Charles, there are so many companies out there. What are some of the red flags that people should be looking out for when they're buying gold?
You know, some of the key red flags, if they're trying to rush you, if they don't want you to sit back and think or have a conversation with you, that's a big red flag. Is it important to invest in metals? Yes. Should you take your time to think about it? Absolutely. And anyone who tries to push you is someplace you don't want to be. You need to be able to know that you've thought it through and it makes sense. Another really big red flag is when they start talking about, oh, this is something that is semi-numismatic or it's numismatic, or the government can't touch it. These are items they're using more of a fear tactic, and that's nonsense. When you hear things like this, or you hear, or they tell you that this coin, there's only 1,000 of them, those are big red flags. Give us a call immediately and find out the truth of the matter.
And by the way, folks, if you want to call Legacy Precious Metals, write this number down. The website, by the way, LegacyPMInvestments.com. The number to call, 866-473-6204. That's 866-473-6204. And you'll be able to talk to the great team there at Legacy Precious Metals. Well, again, I appreciate the Washington Post alerting folks. And Charles, I appreciate you taking time to come on and talk about this because it is important. And we want to make sure that folks are going to places that are indeed reputable and are going to be transparent.
Absolutely. It's far better for you to spend an extra half an hour, hour today making sure you're doing the right thing than waiting 10 years and finding out you did the wrong thing.
Well said. All right. Well, Charles, we've got to leave it there. Hope you have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you, sir.
All right. There you go, folks. Charles Thorngren, the CEO at Legacy Precious Metals. Check out their website, and they are so great at helping educate you, and the education's a huge thing because I had to be educated about all of this. They have gold IRAs, silver IRAs, and the beautiful coins, all sorts of great information for you there at LegacyPMInvestments.com. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will go right to the phones. Again, open line Friday, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, we figured out what the president's doing right now. That would be President Joe Biden, the big guy. According to the White House pool report, the president and members of his family are enjoying a Pilates class together. Is that true? Can you actually enjoy a Pilates class? I don't know about that. Anyway, there you go. We'll keep you updated on any developments. A few days ago, the White House pool report issued a breathless report that the president drank a smoothie. So there you go. Let's go to the phones here. John in Maine, WLOB, wants to weigh in on this sweet lady that got fired after the school board meeting. Hi, John. What's going on?
It's a pleasure to be on your show, Todd. Thank you. About a year ago, I, too, spoke in front of a school board, our local school board. It's rural, but it's also a very large school board. And it was the second hearing on one of those books. I can't remember if it was Gender Queer or whatever. One of those. But they invite you to go and speak. And I did. I was speaker number 13 out of 14. And I was polite. I made some statements that, you know, I went from the point of view that I don't really want to ban books, but I don't want pornography in our school libraries. And these books were geared towards 8 to 12-year-olds. That's where I was. And the other folks really jumped on the LGBTV thing.
The alphabet people, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be rude, but I was vilified. And but I spoke, and I, you know, they heard me, but, man, so a couple of weeks later in work, I'm just retired, and retirement's great, by the way. I retired on September 30th. Someone said to me when I was working, John, you need to look at the company's website, and the Facebook, and I did, and I couldn't. I thought, I've been canceled. People are trying to cancel me. It really does happen, Todd. And it was pretty awful, and... But I guess my point of my call was it's a shame that we can't speak civilly. I expected to be there and speak and have a conversation. I guess I was naive at that point. No, you're not. As soon as you say you're against, I said things like there's no such thing as non-binary. There is no science that backs it up. I talked about the DSM changing in the 70s, about, you know, homosexuality in general. You know, I thought I had facts, but as some wiser person than I said, once you discard the truth, it's so easy to believe a lie.
That's it.
And that's where it was. Yeah, that's where it was. And there was one particular person, I guess, what do they call them? They creep things like this, and she posted all kinds of things. People that I'd worked with for years that I really thought a lot of just said, oh, if I know John thought that, I had known John thought that way, I never would have gone through their agency. And I never stated what I did for work at all, but people know me because it's a small state. And but Todd, all said and done, I felt canceled. I thought I would pursue some sort of career in politics. My wife said no.
Well,
you know, maybe a state. I just think a state senate, you know, and just something like that. But I backed off. I don't know if they were successful, but I had a number of people that would come up to me and lean into me, Todd, and whisper, John, I agree with you.
You know,
John,
it happens, and you're right. That even happened at Fox News. I would be walking down the hallway, and I would have some of the staffers, people that would work way behind the scenes, and they would come over, and they would just whisper in. They're like, hey, I want you to know I'm a conservative, too. And I'm thinking, holy cow, you got to whisper at Fox News? That's insane. But it's true. You really do. But John, you hang in there. And I think this mom, she is not going to be deterred. And we cannot be bullied into silence. We just can't. That's not American.
I agree. Yeah,
John,
I appreciate that.
John, thank you for that call. You give us a holler back one of these days. WLOB, the big lobster. That's Ray Richardson country up there. This story from Fox, by the way. A children's hospital director says that your child can identify as a Tootsie Roll. The California director of a gender clinic and medical school professor says there are infinite gender identities, including one called a gender Tootsie Roll Pop. Dr. Diane Ehrensaft has been one of the most prominent voices pushing gender ideology in the medical and psychology field. She teaches at the University of California, San Francisco. I'm not making this up, Dylan. She discussed in a slide deck that a gender Tootsie Roll Pop is, in fact, an identity. She is a self-identified feminist of unknown pronouns. I took a look at her picture. The pronouns, not exactly clear. She referred to this as the new gender wars, previously known as the gender revolution. She listed a number of new genders, pangender youth, proto-gay children, proto-transgender youths, gender Teslas. Do those just drive themselves? Is that how that works? Gender ambidextrous children and gender smoothies. Are they... What about cereal? Can you identify as a gender cereal? Anybody? We got any Fruity Pebbles listening to the program today? Just wondering. Unbelievable. Folks, this is a big deal because this woman is the chief psychologist at the University of California, San Francisco. We're not talking about your average run-of-the-mill wackadoodle. This is a professional wackadoodle. So there you go. You can identify as a Tootsie Roll. It seems to me, though, the official, if you're going to identify as a candy, I guess the official candy for transgenders would be Almond Joy, right? Or Mound. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. I don't know. Can you identify as a ho-ho? That would be my next question. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Orlando in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Orlando. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to address there are some idiots in Georgia. That guy, Rick, had no business calling you a white supremacist. I'm African-American myself, if no one knew that. I'm actually a blind citizen in the state of Georgia. But you need more people to stand up a little bit more. It makes me wonder if that gentleman's not kin to Big Fanny that we've all been talking about, and she wouldn't put him up to calling you guys. And I also wanted to mention last week you had did an address of a young lady, African-American, talking about black people don't listen to country music. Well, someone needs to tell Charlie Pride that he's black.
That's true.
Someone needs to tell Darius Rucker that he's black. And there's a couple of Big Al Downing. He's actually a black man as well, and he sings country music. There's too many idiots out here in this world. And as you always say, and you, I haven't heard you say it in a while, there's a bunch of loons out here. And I'm sick and tired of people of color calling into this station, making black people look bad. There are black Republicans out here, and we need to stand up and stand strong.
Well, you're kind to say that, Orlando, and I was happy to have a conversation with the guy, and I appreciate Rick listening to us for 90 minutes.
And I was cracking up the whole time, and I'm like, wow, this guy is an idiot.
I can't listen to NPR too terribly long, so I got to give the guy credit. He's got stamina. I'll give it to him.
Yes, he did. He did. But and again, maybe more guys like that need to call in. It's going to make you a hero at the end of the day. Well, so they need to call in. Just like Donald. Oh, and before I get off the phone, can someone please address to the black, to the blind people, can we not do like .com? If we can kind of put a phone number on things, because I would definitely love to get some Donald Trump paraphernalia, but I don't do the internet.
Well, we'll try to find that, Orlando, and if we get that number, we will we'll announce it and share it on the radio. How's that?
All right. That will be great.
All right.
You guys have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
All right. You too. Thanks for calling, Orlando. Yeah, look, it's funny because we have probably one of the most diverse conservative talk radio shows in the country, primarily because of where we're based, Memphis, Tennessee. It's a majority minority city. And look, we take calls from everybody. I love having that conversation. All right, folks. Wow. We've got so many people still on hold. We've run out of time. I am so sorry, but we will pick up the conversation on Monday. Also, be sure to check out our website, toddstarnes.com. So much great information there. Great calls today. Want to thank our great team here, Josh and Dylan and Lauren and Grace. Folks, you have a great Friday, and be sure to go to church this weekend.